举国会及国际盟友合作应对中国。拜登政府恢复多国旅行限制。参议院共和党人对特朗普弹劾审判意见不一。
1月26号星期二，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。白宫回应了中国国家主席习近平在达沃斯论坛的讲话。白宫表示，中国现在对内集权，对外武断，拜登政府将争取国会两党以及国际盟友合作一起应对中国。习近平的讲话并不会改变拜登政府对于中国的看法和做法。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是的，我们知道中国国家主席习近平在美国时间的1月25号星期一在达沃斯的世界经济论坛上发表讲话。在讲话当中呢，他提到说认为科技的成果不应该是应该造福全人类，而不应该成为了限制跟遏制其他国家的发展的手段，并且呢还呼吁全球合作要携手来应对全球性的挑战。那么就在星期一下午的白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人沙奇就被问到说，哎，习近平呼吁团结合作的这番话是否会改变拜登政府对于中国的看法跟做法？对此呢，沙奇则是直接说不会改变。我们来看一下沙奇今天在白宫的新闻简报会上是怎么说的。
No, I think our approach to China remains what it has been since for the last months, if not longer. We're in a serious competition with China. Strategic competition with China is a defining feature of the 21st century. China is engaged in conduct that it hurts American workers, blunts our technological edge, and threatens our alliances and our influence in international.Organizations. What we've seen over the last few years is that China's growing more authoritarian at home and more assertive abroad. And Beijing is now challenging our security, prosperity, and values in significant ways that require a new U.S. approach. And this is one of the reasons, as we were talking about a little bit earlier, that we want to approach this with some strategic patience. And we want to conduct reviews internally through our interagency. We wanted to engage more with Republicans and Democrats in Congress to discuss the path forward. And most importantly, we want to discuss this with our allies. So no, the comments don't change anything. We believe that this moment requires a strategic and a new approach forward.
那我们知道前总统特朗普呢认为像华为这样子的中国科技公司会把美国的科技转移到中国人民解放军的身上，并且呢也对这个他们的商品跟服务也会对美国的国家安全构成了威胁。因此呢像华为已经被放到美国商务部的禁令这个实体的清单上面。那么在星期一的这个白宫新闻简报会上就被问到说呢是否会继续的把华为放在这个实体清单上。那白宫发言人沙奇也做出了回应。我们来看一下白宫发言人沙奇是怎么说的。
Technology, as I just noted, is, of course, at the center of the U.S.-China competition. China's been willing to do whatever it takes to gain a technological advantage, stealing intellectual property, engaging in industrial espionage, and forcing technology transfer. Our view, the president's view, is we need to play a better defense, which must include holding China accountable for its unfair and illegal practices and making sure that American technologies aren't facilitating China's military buildup. So he's firmly committed to making sure that Chinese companies cannot misappropriate and misuse American data. And we need a comprehensive strategy, as I've said, and a more systematic approach that actually addresses the full range of these issues. So there is, again, an ongoing review of a range of these issues. We want to look at them carefully, and we'll be committed to approaching them through the lens of ensuring we're protecting U.S. data and America's technological edge.
那被问到呢是否会继续保留对中国商品课征的关税，还有呢这个中国公司是否可能会被美国的股市给下市。对此呢白宫的发言人沙奇则是表示说呢这个拜登政府正在进行广泛而且全面性的跨部会评估，那么确定呢是会采取多方面的策略 同时呢，会与国会当中的民主党以及共和党两党跨部会的合作，一起来对抗中国的经济侵略。那么至于拜登总统签署的一个行政命令呢，废除了当年特朗普总统所签署的这个关于美国电信网的政策。那不过呢，在这个特朗普总统的这个政策当中呢，包括了禁止中国电信公司进入美国的电力网。那沙奇表示呢，这个电力网本身的细节，他要回去研究之后再来这个跟大家做回应。不过呢，拜登政府对中国的大方向是没有改变的。那么此外呢，拜登总统星期一的上午在白宫椭圆形办公室当中接见了新任的美国国防部长奥斯汀。那这个拜登总统呢，同时也签署了行政命令，废除前总统特朗普之前限制跨性别者不得从军的禁令。之后呢，国防部长则是在推特上转推了白宫的行政命令，并且表示他是完全赞成。他说呢，当全军的才华都能够发挥，我国军人才能够做出最佳表现，无论他们的性取向如何，我完全支持总统今天的指示。所有想要服役的跨性别者，只要符合资格标准，都可以服役。此外呢，上个星期拜登总统宣布，由于出现了更严重的变种新冠病毒株，所以呢会严厉加强入境美国的防疫措施。星期一呢，白宫发言人沙奇则说，从1月26号星期二开始呢，也就是明天开始，所有入境美国的旅客，无论是不是美国公民，都要出示3天之内呈阴性反应的新冠病毒检测报告，那么才能够上飞机。此外呢，由于南非也出现了更加严重的变种病毒株，所以呢，从即日起也将南非列入禁止入境的国家之一。好啦，
好的，感谢姚毅从白宫发回的报道。美国总统拜登周一正式对来自巴西、爱尔兰、英国和其他26个允许跨越开放边界旅行的欧洲国家的非美国游客恢复实施新冠病毒旅行限制。拜登正在撤销特朗普总统卸任前要求从周二起放宽旅行限制的命令。白宫发言人沙奇说，南非也被列入限制名单，因为担心新冠病毒的一种变种已经扩散到南非以外的地区，这也凸显了新政府对病毒突变的担忧。拜登发布的禁令让几乎所有来美前14天内去过限制名单上的国家的任何外国公民都无法入境美国。这些要求从美国时间星期二开始执行。美国共和党两位重要参议员卢比奥和罗姆尼对参议院即将对本党前总统特朗普进行弹劾审判意见不一。尽管参议员卢比奥认为特朗普对发生的一些事情负有责任，但他表示反对参议院弹劾审判。卢比奥说，那不是刑事审判，而是一个政治进程，会助长使美国陷入瘫痪的分裂。特朗普被控在1月6日煽动数百名支持者攻入美国国会大厦，这起事件导致5人死亡。参议员罗姆尼是2012年共和党总统候选人，他认为煽动暴动是一种可以被弹劾的罪行。罗姆尼相信特朗普是对美国的民主进行空前攻击的同谋，他还说没有证据表明这次选举是被窃取的选举。参议院的弹劾审判从2月8日开始，参议院需要2/3的多数对特朗普定罪。拜登担任美国总统的第一个整周开始时，他面临许多挑战，其中主要事项包括加大全国范围内的新冠病毒疫苗接种力度，还有下个月在参议院对他的前任特朗普进行弹劾审判。来看美国之音记者奎因的报道。
星期一，针对前总统特朗普的弹劾条款由众议院递交参议院。星期二，参议员宣誓担任陪审员，准备2周后开展弹劾审判。特朗普在1月6号对国会大厦遭冲击之前的言论，以及他错误的指责11月的大选被对手窃取的指控，在全国仍然有严重的分歧。特朗普竞选团队及其盟友提出了数十起诉讼，但无一获胜。肯塔基州的共和党参议员兰德·保罗主张对选票进行更多的调查。
I think there was a great deal of evidence of fraud and changing of the election laws illegally, and I think a thorough investigation is warranted.
弹劾审判是在拜登新政府需要与国会合作做成事情的时候进行的。华盛顿在疫情大流行中承担了太多的任务吗
？I thoroughly believe that we can handle this impeachment trial. And just as the American people are doing, juggle what we need to get done.
美国面临最大的挑战是加快新冠疫苗的接种。拜登已经承诺在任职的前100天要完成1亿剂疫苗的接种，但有人说这个速度太慢了。
That's a floor. It's not a ceiling. It's also a goal that reflects the realities that we face. What could go right, but also what could go wrong.
约翰霍普金斯大学的数据显示，美国已经确诊的新冠病例超过2500万，死亡人数超过418000例。上周，拜登签署了应对新冠病毒大流行的行政命令。一项命令要求在联邦场所、城际公交及火车上、机场和飞机上都要佩戴口罩，希望以此减缓新冠病毒的传播。美国之音记者奎因报道。
美国总统拜登的内阁团队中，引领未来美中发展方向的成员大多已经表达了对中国的强硬立场。我们将用两期短片为您介绍拜登总统的团队6位官员的从政经历。在今天上半集的节目中，我们将为您介绍国务卿布林肯、国防部长奥斯汀和农业部长维尔萨克。来看美国之音记者刘恩民的报道。
Mr. Chairman, for 7 decades now, and as you noted, the United States has invested in a system of international institutions and principles and norms designed to protect the right of all nations to pursue their interests irrespective of their size or strength. This international architecture has created a foundation of peace and stability that unlocked a period of unprecedented economic growth, nowhere more so than in East Asia. It's not only benefited the United States, it's benefited China and all the countries in the region.It is our shared interest to see that these standards are strengthened, not undermined.
believe that, as you've said before, sir, that America is strongest when it works with its allies. And over the years, I've worked hand in hand with our diplomatic colleagues and partners around the globe and witnessed firsthand what we're able to accomplish together. And so, if confirmed, I look forward to resuming this important work.
gathered evidence demonstrating that China is subsidizing production of wheat, corn, and rice at levels that are in violation of their WTO commitments. These subsidies disadvantage American grain producers seeking meaningful export opportunity in China. For example, according to industry estimates, China's trade distorting support costs U.S. wheat farmers nearly $700 million a year in potential revenue.
美国第一夫人吉尔·拜登表明，教育政策将是他关心的优先议题。吉尔·拜登熟悉华盛顿政治圈的运作，因为她的丈夫曾经担任过36年的参议员，并曾在奥巴马主政期间担任过8年的副总统。来看美国之音记者萨拉伊和普雷苏蒂的报道。
吉尔·拜登是美国历史上第一位获得博士学位的第一夫人。拜登总统就职不到一周，吉尔·拜登就和多位教育专家举行了视频会议。他表示，美国教师面临的挑战将是他关心的优先议题。
You know, we're all facing so many challenges right now. And I know that you are stretched thinner than most. But educators, this is our moment. Because we know how to turn chaos into something beautiful.We do it every day in our classrooms.
吉尔·拜登长期从事教育工作，这种经历将主导他作为第一夫人的工作。
I would expect her to be very active in suggesting specific reforms to the education system. But not everybody agrees. You know, many people would like a first lady who keeps her mouth shut and is seen only in the very best clothes. I'm not in that school. I really think it's a powerful platform.
在拜登担任副总统期间，吉尔·拜登成为美国历史上第一位从事在白宫之外带薪工作的第二夫人。成为第一夫人后，她仍将在北维州社区大学教授英文。
I know how hard it is. I am teaching hybrid this semester myself.
在学校的毕业典礼上，她讲述了一个学生在教室里告诉她的故事。
I saw you last night on the television with Michelle Obama. And I called my mother and I said, Mom, there's my English teacher. And she said, that's not your English teacher, that's the second lady.
拜登夫妇的结合并非一帆风顺。吉尔·拜登当时正在经历离婚，而乔·拜登正在经历丧失亲人的痛苦。他的妻子和女儿死于车祸，他在单独抚养两个年幼的儿子。在乔·拜登提出第五次求婚之后，两人终于结婚。
And the fifth time, I finally said to her, I said, Jill, my Irish pride has gotten hold of me. This is the last time I'm going to ask you. I said, you don't have to tell me when you'll marry me, just if you'll marry me. She said, yes.
4年后，吉尔·拜登生了一个女儿。2015年，拜登家庭再次发生悲剧，拜登的儿子伯·拜登死于脑癌。因此，吉尔·拜登把抗击癌症也视为他关心的议题。在大选期间，吉尔·拜登写了一本儿童读物，讲述了乔·拜登早年的生平，以及他在被人嘲笑口吃后如何敢于竞争和坚韧不拔。尽管两人都把特拉瓦州视为家园，但是在乔·拜登担任联邦参议员的最后21年和副总统的8年期间，两人大部分时间都在华盛顿度过。未来至少4年。他们也将在白宫度过。美国之音记者萨拉伊·普雷苏蒂华盛顿报道。
洛杉矶市长埃里克·加塞蒂最近宣布，警方将开始逮捕反对戴口罩却骚扰他人戴口罩的人。来看美国之音记者巴格达·塞尔扬的报道。
从八月开始，拒绝在洛杉矶戴口罩的人将被处以最高$2,000的罚款。尽管有科学证据显示戴口罩有助于防止新冠病毒传播，但仍有人拒绝戴口罩。罗曼·德瑞克是其中之一，他不戴口罩，他认为严格的规定是用来控制人民的，而不是保障安全的方法。
I feel like some of the reactions I've seen from these people that it's some kind of submission or something to get along with our current society. You have to do what they want you to do, and I don't want to do it. You know, and that's not American. It's not the way I grew up.
洛杉矶警方过去因为对拒绝戴口罩者的处理过于宽容而遭到批评，但警官们表示，他们试图不让事态不必要的恶化。大多数戴口罩的人说，他们这么做不仅是为了保护自己，也是为了保护社区。
I feel like it's safe for me and for other people too. I mean, we never know, because I know friends and relatives who got tested.
If you care about other people, you should definitely wear a mask. These things work, so wear it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, open up the businesses, but at least do this for other people.
洛杉矶县最近成为全美国第一个新冠病毒感染超过100万例的县份，每7分钟就有一人死于和新冠病毒相关的病。因此主管单位说，口罩比以往任何时候都更重要。
Now is the time to avoid as much as possible contact with others that aren't in your household. When you must go out to work or for essential services, always wear a mask, keep your distance from others.
统计数字显示，将近75%的美国人赞同戴口罩。虽然有些人对不戴口罩的人不予理会，但也有人会毫不犹豫地报警。
We've been going to that Beverly Hills rally. We go to the Beverly Hills rally every Saturday. We don't wear masks. Just this last Saturday, we did have a woman go up to the police and try to get them to give us a ticket, and they wouldn't do it.
洛杉矶市长埃里克·加塞蒂想办法解决这个问题。他通过《洛杉矶时报》对反对戴口罩的人说：“不要在这个问题上试探我们。”因为你会发现自己被关在牢里，被开罚单或面对起诉。加塞蒂还下令市警局逮捕那些参加大型聚会的人，这在洛杉矶已经明令禁止。美国之音记者巴格达·塞尔扬，洛杉矶报道。
2年前的2019年1月，世界卫生组织就说过，人们对接种疫苗犹豫不决是全球健康的十大威胁之一。那还是在新冠病毒蔓延全球之前的事。美国之音记者皮尔逊告诉我们，医生在如何努力克服人们的犹豫。
科学家们在竞相开发疫苗，但要说服人们接种疫苗可能是个问题。最近有两个民意调查，一个是皮尤研究中心所做，另一个是盖洛普所做的。他们的数字显示，不愿意接种疫苗的美国人介于37%和40%之间。美国顶尖的传染病专家福契医生估计，群体免疫可能需要多达85%的疫苗覆盖率。在费城，大约半数的紧急技术人员和消防队医护人员选择不接受疫苗。
We hope that over time.As more people are vaccinated and we get more education out there, that more of our members will receive the vaccine, be willing to receive the vaccine.
据美国疾病预防控制中心的数据，非洲裔美国人是美国新冠病毒感染率和死亡率最高的族群之一。然而，调查显示，美国黑人10个只有4个说他们会接种疫苗。相比之下，亚裔美国人10个有8个，白人和西语裔美国人10个有6个愿意接种。
Minorities are leery about it, and we have a right to be leery about it.
公共卫生专家呼吁针对性的宣传信息。
We need to do better at rectifying this problem so that people do participate.
隶属于美国内科委员会的医生在网上张贴自己接种疫苗的照片和视频，这是该委员会说服人们疫苗安全的宣传活动之一。
We're hoping that doctors in this country have enough webs of relationships with their families, with their patients, with their communities, that if they step up and lead and show people that they are not only willing to do this, but proud of it and encouraging other people to do it, we hope that will be part of the very broad campaign that we all need to get to a place where most of us have had the vaccine.
鉴于美国感染率飙升和庞大的死亡人数，这是迫切需要的。在加利福尼亚，迪士尼乐园正在主办大规模疫苗接种。亚利桑那州国民警卫队已经介入，在疫苗接种地点提供帮助。唯有针筒里的疫苗注入人们的体内，大流行病才会结束。美国之音记者皮尔逊报道。
美国的学生贷款债务超过1.7万亿美元，这个数字比加拿大、俄罗斯还有韩国等国的国民生产总值还要高。现在有学生说，除非学校满足他们的要求，否则他们将拒付学费。来看美国之音的报道。
When I say tuition, you say strike.
在哥伦比亚大学图书馆外的这个团体要求在新冠大流行期间减免学费。纽约市的这所私立的常春藤盟校拥有超过31,000名学生，每年学费约6万美元。学生组织者收集了4000多个签名和一份对大学提出要求的清单，包括春季班入学费用减少10%。
Even though we are getting a much different product that we agreed to at the beginning of attending Columbia, we're still being asked to pay the same price.
Show me what solidarity looks like!
成千上万的学生已许诺从1月22日星期五开始拒交学费。但大学教育费用高并不是什么新鲜事儿。
This problem of affordable education has existed long before the pandemic. This issue of affordable education is much larger than Columbia. And there are students everywhere struggling with these same questions about how to afford college when the cost keeps rising every single year.
学生债务是美国第二大的财务责任类型。据估计，有70%的美国学生贷款支付高等教育费用，债务人平均积欠联邦贷款36,000多美元。然而面临财务挑战的并不仅是学生，高等教育机构在大流行病期间目前在线学习等方面进行了更多的投资。像哥伦比亚大学这样的私校是通过私人捐助者和学费取得资金，公立学校则是依赖政府补贴。
Pre-pandemic, the financial situation was not that great. States have pulled back on funding. There's less public support for higher education. And because of that, the cost has gone to the students. Student tuition dollars go up, fees go up.That's a fundamental challenge and fundamental issue. And that's the long-term question. Who's going to pay for all of this?
上个月，哥伦比亚大学官员宣布，他们将增加春季班的财务援助，并于1月停止收取学费的滞纳金。哥伦比亚大学在一份声明中说，此刻对现状进行积极评估是可理解的，而这也正是我们对我们的学生所期望的。哥伦比亚大学领导层听到了他们的声音，并欢迎他们对加强大学的看法。由于大流行病，其他一些大学和学院已通过减少学费和杂费来减轻负担。
What we're seeing here, you know, we've accomplished so much, but this is just the first step. So continuing this movement, reaching out to as many people, we're going to build something stronger, and they will listen to us eventually. But it takes people power.
学费罢工组织者声称已经和来自美国与英国各地的70多个不同学校的学生会面，讨论组织学费罢工活动的方式。专家说，有些高等教育机构可能无法承受大流行的财务负担，合并可能是最佳的生存之道。美国之音记者金斯科辛斯基纽约报道。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。